The Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shut down in day 20, impacting furloughed federal workers and Americans who rely on government services, including farmers. Joe Maxwell is a fourth-generation farmer and president of Farm Action Fund.
While we're in harvest, it's now that farmers begin to prepare their fields and to make plans for next spring, for spring planting. So it's really a critical time for the government to be shut down, really puts the farmers in a horrible personal stress, financial stress for the farms.
The Senate taking up a vote again later today aimed at ending the shutdown. Hamas has returned another body and it is in Israeli custody where testing will take place, trying to verify if it's one of the deceased hostages. President Trump today threatening to eradicate Hamas, he says, if the violence against Gazans doesn't stop after reports by the State Department that Hamas has violated the ceasefire deal. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. It's been 2 years since the Universities of Wisconsin closed the Richland campus. Now news comes today that operations will cease at the UW-Platteville Baraboo Sauk County campus as of May 22, 2026. An email sent to UW-Platteville community members by Chancellor Tammy Ivetovich stated, quote, "This will not impact in-person degree instructional programs at the main Platteville campus. Our top priority is supporting students, faculty, and staff through this change, as we have created a dedicated transition team to assist them through this process," end quote. According to Channel 3000, UW-Platteville is set to help students transition seamlessly to its main campus. The university will develop individualized plans for staff and faculty. The Baraboo Sauk County campus opened in 1968. Enrollment is currently 178, with class sizes averaging 14. Following the closure, the campus will be returned to Sauk County. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is highlighting how the federal government shutdown is impacting Wisconsin workers. DWD Secretary Amy Pekacek says DWD isn't able to release monthly job data, which helps organizations make crucial fiscal decisions. Pekacek says there's about 8,000 federal workers in Wisconsin, and they could also be impacted if the Trump administration decides not to give them any back pay. Finally, Pekacek says certain migrant work visas aren't being processed, which will impact the ag industry if the shutdown lasts too long. Thursday marked the 16th day of the federal government shutdown. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Packers outlast the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Arizona, where the Packers beat the Cardinals here last night, 27-23. The Packers' substitute kicker, Lucas Haversick, set a new franchise record with a 61-yard field goal. Micah Parsons had 3 quarterback sacks in the game, the most in his career. Parsons also jumped off sides, allowing the Cardinals to stay alive, but Rashawn Gary able to force a fumble that Green Bay recovered.
The big play, the offsides by me, which is completely unacceptable. We got it right back when we came out and argued with the fumble, so that's the complimentary side. They mess up, make up for us, and we made up for them, and that's the good thing.
The road trip got off to a bad start when the team plane had to be grounded due to a mechanical problem. They didn't leave for Phoenix until 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Obviously, we already have a long, you know, plane ride, and then we were sitting basically on the terminal for about 5 or some hours.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney with Sports on Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see increasing clouds across the area for your Monday, and a late day shower can't be ruled out. A gusty south wind in the afternoon, up around 30 miles per hour, with highs in the mid-60s. Evening showers, then gradual clearing, lows near 40. Currently 65 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Yes, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us after 9:30. I hope you can join us too.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Yeah, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on this Monday, October 20th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, to the world headquarters of Civic Media downtown Madison on a crystal blue autumn afternoon at the intersection of State and Fairchild. Great to be along with you. Aaron Zommers, let's take a look right away at the old Sam Davidson street cam for those watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitterish, Twix. Look at that. Look at that. Beautiful downtown Madison right now.
It's a gorgeous George day outside.
Yes, it is. Look at that. Leaves now starting to fall after turning yellow here. Those are box elder. I'm not sure what they are, but buses going by, people out there. Zommers and I went and got some beautiful Wonder State coffee before the show, and your hat blew away twice.
It did. Yeah. It is pretty windy. Yeah. The first time my hat blew away off my head. The second time I just wasn't holding it tightly and I felt very dumb.
All right, we'll check in.
A very kind passerby caught it for me.
Yes, a very nice person caught your hat. So that was good. Lots and lots to get to today. Stick around at the bottom of the hour. By the way, Jane Matt Nair, our friend and colleague who's been joining us on Mondays from Mondays with Matt Nair, very busy. She is a woman in demand. So her public demands her, so she'll be back next Monday. No, she had a couple of things to do, and so she'll rejoin us next Monday. But have no fear, because stepping into the time slot, we have Brittany Curlone from Wisconsin Watch is going to be here. She's been here before. A fascinating new story at wisconsinwatch.org as Wisconsin faces a housing affordability crisis, and how lawmakers and candidates for governor plan to address it. So Brittany has broken down the announced candidates thus far for governor. So she'll be here in studio, sitting next to me at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that. Also, going to talk a little No Kings protest rally over the weekend. Over 7 million people nationwide turned out. Big crowd down here in downtown Madison, I know Milwaukee, and then smaller places all across small towns, villages, cities across Wisconsin. And guess what? Peaceful. Turned out fantastic. People had a lot of fun, lots of U.S. flags waving, some fun costumes, kind of Halloween came early. And people went out and demonstrated, exercised their First Amendment right, and no major incidents to report.
Even across the whole nation, extraordinarily yes. Peaceful. If I recall, there were like 100,000 people out in New York, and not a single person was arrested.
Yeah, it was a good time to have. But also, I did not get out, still trying to recover from, we'll get into this maybe later on, hour two. The old salivary gland stone is still there in my neck. And so we've now started medication. We'll get into it. But I'm fine. It's just my wacky health situations. If nothing else, they give us bits for the show. Also, I feel a little weird. First time in a long time, I'm not wearing Brewer apparel. Because, unfortunately, the Brewers were not able to overcome the incredible Los Angeles Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani in Game 4. 3 home runs. Pitched a marvelous game. Probably one of the best games in baseball ever, period, for Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. So, hey, crew had a great season. In hour number 2, we're going to take your calls on your favorite Brewers memories this year in 2025. So we'll get into that a little bit in hour number 2 as well. And before I forget, our friend Kelly Call, one of the producers of Just a Bit Outside, story of the 82 Brewers, speaking of the Brewers, Kelly Call celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday.
The Libra that he is. So happy birthday, Kelly Call, out there in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Hope he and his lovely wife have a wonderful day on the shores of somewhere beautiful along the Pacific. So have a great day, Kelly. All right, lots to get to today. Also in hour number 2, our new segment, Wisconsin Fun Fact, and a What's Worse for You as well. So so we'll get to some sports. Of course, Packers last night managed to eke one out. Not pretty, but they got it done. So congrats to the Pack as they continue their winning ways down there against the Cardinals last night. So we'll talk more Packers and Brewers in hour number 1. But first of all, some breaking news as we come on the air here on a Monday on October 20th, 11 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. And this is fascinating to me. This is fascinating because you don't see this often. And what it is the treasurer for the Wisconsin or Republican Party of Wisconsin has resigned and retweeting or putting out there into the public space her letter of resignation. I don't know this guy, but he's associated with the Wisconsin Turning Points USA, like the Wisconsin chapter or whatever. Brett Galazowski, don't know him, but he puts out there on Twitter, and Lawrence Andrea from the Journal Sentinel tweeted this. He said, a pretty scathing review of current Republican Party of Wisconsin leadership here from an outgoing executive committee member. That's from the reporter, the Journal Sentinel. Now, Brett Galazowski, the guy from Turning Points USA Wisconsin, says, quote, big shakeup at the top of WIS GOP. Treasurer Kelly Rue resigns. Ideologically, Kelly and I didn't always align. I'm further to the right. We both knew it, but we had real conversations about reforming the movement. He goes on from there. So he says it should be a wake-up call for everybody. I'm not going to read the entire letter. It's being put out there. It was politics. I believe Civic Media is going to put it out there as well. But I find this interesting. Ms. Rue, the now former treasurer of the state Republican Party, says, quote, I am writing to formally resign my position as treasurer of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, RPW, effective immediately. Says, after careful consideration, I have concluded that I can no longer meaningfully contribute to our party's executive leadership under the current circumstances. The absence of a strategic plan, defined objectives and measurable outcomes, as well as budgetary issues, have created an environment in which progress is difficult to assess and nearly impossible to achieve. And she goes on for that. It is a scathing letter and basically says that, I'm going to read this one more sentence here because I think this kind of encapsulates it. Quote, recent election results in Wisconsin are clear. If RPW does not drastically change its approach to everything, leadership, fundraising, messaging, organizing, addressing issues that Wisconsinites care about, then it will no longer play a role in deciding our state's future, unquote. That from Kelly Rue, the now former chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. We heard some of this summer during the RPW convention, state convention, annual state convention. There was kind of an uprising of further right. I know for some people, they're like, how could it be further right? But it can. Of the further right MAGA folks trying to unseat Brian Arthur Shimmy in the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. That was quelled, and Shimmy got another term as party chair. Now, he is the first paid, full-time paid chair for the Republicans, I'm not going to say forever, but a long, long time. When I was part of that party, which I left the Republican Party in 2011, but when I was involved, it was a volunteer. You got a stipend, basically. And then the executive director was the full-time paid position. But now the chairperson, Shimming, is the full-time paid person. And there's a lot of discontent, it seems, within the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Don't forget now, with the new maps on the legislative side, going to be even more of a challenge for Republicans to hang on to both houses of the legislature next fall. A lot of political observers saying that the state Senate is in biggest jeopardy of falling into Democratic hands, or if you're a Democrat, picking it up and putting it into Democratic hands. But I think this is an interesting development. We'll see if it goes anywhere or if it's just kind of one discontented person. But anyway, the treasurer of the Republican Party of Wisconsin is out. We'll see what the fallout is. Coming up on 16 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock. Other big story today, and I haven't not heard that. It just kind of came out here in Wispolitics a while back. And as my friend TJ might say, this is rich. News from Republican Congressman of the 3rd District, Derek Van Orden. Headline, Dairy Group. Van Orden call for immigration law change to help farms. Now, if you've been following this program or many of our other great programs here at Civic Media, you'll know, kept up, that Derek Van Orden has been out there and right along with Trump on immigration. Throw them all out. Deport them. Get rid of, bring ICE in. Put more, voted to put historic levels of money into ICE. And we on this network, this program and myself included, me particularly growing up in a farming community, my grandparents are dairy farmers, been saying, be careful what you wish for, Derek. Because a lot of our ag economy in Wisconsin, particularly our dairy industry, would shut down if not for migrant labor. And let's be honest, both legal and quote-unquote illegal or undocumented. And many of these folks are not people that, you know, came across the border or whatever, snuck over. They came here maybe on a visitor visa or a temporary work permit, and it simply didn't get approved, or it's so bogged down in red tape and expired, so they're technically quote-unquote undocumented. And Van Orden is, oh, throw them all out. Get rid of them. Well, here now the chickens have come home to roost. The American Dairy Coalition, American Business Immigration Coalition, and U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden at the World Dairy Expo advocated for immigration law changes to bolster the agricultural workforce. Van Orden, Republican of Prairie du Chien, said he wants to create a program attached to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection's app that allows anyone who participates in the department's self-deportation program to also participate in a program that grants them legal protected status for 1 year. Quote, it's about an 80% solution, he said during a press conference. Right now, any one of your workers can get on the CBP1 app and push a button that'll give them a plane ticket and $1,000 to get home. I want another button. Add it on there, where you push it, the button, and you go to a legal protected status for 1 year, unquote, from Van Orden. Without immigrant agricultural labor, the U.S. would become, quote unquote, inherently dependent on foreign nations to feed its own people, he said. Really, Derek? Really? No crap, Sherlock. So a lot of people have been saying for a long time. Well, now Van Orden's hearing from ag producers in Wisconsin saying, you got to stop this or A, we're going to go out of business, or B, we're going to start relying on foreign nations for more and more of our food supply. And there's no reason for it. America, let alone Wisconsin, has the ability to create their own food, their own drinks, milk, but not without labor. And if you think that Van Orden has found religion, we'll come back and tell you who else is talking about maybe foreign countries giving us our food supply. But this guy is fine with it. In fact, he's advocating for it. More on this on the other side. It's the All Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, October 20th. Zahmer's on the board talking about this WIS politics story today. Headline, Dairy Group Van Orden calls for immigration law changes to help farmers. The American Dairy Coalition, American Business Immigration Coalition, and Republican Derek Van Orden are now calling, and we're kind of short on time here, so I'm going to skip it. I'm going to kind of condense this a little bit for you. And this guy's been a congressman now for 3 years plus. It shows he has virtually no understanding of how the immigration system works. Because he's saying on the CBP app, the Custom Border Protection app, that you right now can push a button, click on something, and you'll be set up with a plane ticket and $1,000 to self-deport to go home. He wants to add another button where you just push it and you go into immediate legal protected status for a year so you can still work on Wisconsin farms. That's not how it works. It's much easier to just say, here's $1,000, go home, than to go through all of the process to become legal. That is part of the reason, a large part, that we have people who are undocumented now. It's not that they all came here. Of course, some did. It's not that they all came here, quote unquote, illegally crossed a border. Many came with legal visas, but because the system is so messed up and they don't get an answer, yes or no, their current visa expires and then they become undocumented. If it was that easy, Derek, with a push of a button on an app, we wouldn't have as many undocumented people. But now he's afraid. He's got religion on this. After being on the throw them all out bandwagon, now Van Orden is very upset, very concerned, because he thinks that the U.S. will become inherently dependent, quote unquote, on foreign nations to feed its own people if we don't do this. Yes. Yes, Congressman Van Orden. People like me have been saying this for a long time. He says, quote, I'm saying it out loud what no Republican wants to say. If we don't retain our current ag labor force, our farms are going to close, unquote. That's what we've been saying, Derek. The fact that people who entered the U.S. illegally would have to first exit the country and then return through a legal port of entry is a crucial part of the bill, he added. Again, he does not understand how this works. If you go out and you've been deemed undocumented or illegal, at least, and I was an expert at this one time. It's been a while since I worked in immigration, but I knew these laws backwards and forwards when I was immigration specialist for Congressman Klug. It used to be you would have to go home for 10 years before you were allowed to reapply to come back in. Look, let me make clear. I'm glad he's got religion now. But what did he think? He knew exactly where this was going, you guys. And at the time, he didn't care. He wanted to score votes and political points. But now the chickens have come home to roost, and now he wants to take care of a very specific industry, ag, which I'm all for. But what about the construction industry? What about the food industry? The service industry? Who also rely on these same folks? 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Gene on WCFW, the Tap at Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
That's my representative. He's all show, no go. Whenever there's some kind of problem, like even the medical issues that we had losing our hospitals here, he was there right in front of that camera and didn't do a gall darn thing. So I hope the farmers wake up, because everything that comes out of his mouth, he does not do or follow up. He's did other things, too, but I won't go into it right now. Right,
appreciate
Thank
it.
You for bringing it up.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Gene. Yep, appreciate it. Well, like I say, I mean, I'm glad that Van Orden's got religion now, but why is that? Because he's realized that a lot of people were right and he was wrong. And now he's looking at his own constituents and he's taking the heat. There's one other guy I told you before the break who's concerned, maybe not so much, about bringing in food products from foreign countries. As a matter of fact, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States this weekend, flying back from Mar-a-Lago after playing golf as the government was shut down and military doesn't have money to buy food. Donald Trump commented on high beef prices. No worries. Donald Trump has an answer. If you're a beef producer in Wisconsin, listen up.
With soybeans and on Argentina, you're looking to do that deal with Argentina, the bail swap. So,
are we expecting a beef deal?
I
assume you're talking about beef. Yeah, to get beef prices down. The only price we have that's high is beef, and we'll get that down. And one of the things we're thinking about doing is a beef from Argentina.
Beef from Argentina. You heard that right. The president of the United States, in order to get beef prices down for consumers, is thinking about flooding the U.S. market with foreign beef. Bringing in beef from Argentinian farmers to undercut Wisconsin beef farmers. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Do we have time for the other one in Argentina, the $40 billion?
If we start it right now.
Nah, let's wait. We'll wait until we come back. We'll save that. Well, titillating more because he said a lot about agriculture this weekend, folks. And this is why, and we'll get into this in hour two, or maybe a little bit later this hour. Here now, we're seeing the real results of the No Kings protest. Because it's not always the people that carry signs, although that's important, that's great. It's the discontent. It's people that might have voted for Donald Trump and said, wait a minute, I didn't vote for this. I'm a beef farmer. I didn't want my prices undercut by Argentinian beef. I didn't want my workers thrown out of the country. People are waking up. And Republicans are a little nervous. Come on back. More on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show for Monday on the Civic Media. Ready to go.
News from the center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke. The Affordable Care Act is under pressure in Washington, D.C., and if it goes away, a lot of Wisconsin farm families will be negatively impacted. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. Taking a little deeper dive on the Affordable Care Act and Wisconsin farm families' reliance on it, that's next.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand Power Core Enlist corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, Power Core Enlist beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin trying to draw attention to the Affordable Care Act and the farm families in the state that depend on it. She held a recent roundtable with the Wisconsin Farmers Union to discuss what's happening in Washington, D.C. and what it means to Wisconsin farm families. Danielle Envick is the executive director of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. She says she's worried about what would happen to those families.
Rising costs are everywhere in farming right now. We definitely don't need to see them at a level that can impact families and their health. Farming income right now is already so unpredictable with what's going on with tariffs. You start looking at what we've got going on with soybean deals in South America, and it's a wild roller coaster that we're on. Even a few hundred dollars a month more for premiums are going to tip the balance from barely affordable to unattainable. And what I'm worried about is farm families not being covered in the long run here.
Danielle Envick, she's the executive director of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. She says the numbers are very intimidating if the tax benefits of the Affordable Care Act go away. Now estimated that some 270,000 Wisconsinites would see their health care premiums basically double in the new year. And some 30,000 Wisconsinites would have their health care terminated entirely.
Whether it's the sound of the carnival or the taste of the cotton candy or your first blue ribbon, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to offer cash prizes for your fair stories. Entries are being accepted all summer long and there is no limit, so tell us all of your stories. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
And on Friday, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced the first confirmed case of eastern equine encephalitis in the state. It impacted a five-month-old colt in Marathon County. Horse owners being reminded to check their vaccination records. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Monday. I'm PM Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see increasing clouds across the area for your Monday, and a late day shower can't be ruled out. A gusty south wind in the afternoon, up around 30 miles per hour, with highs in the mid-60s. Evening showers, then gradual clearing, lows near 40. It's 66 at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito, the Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. The teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations.
Judge says that overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly.
What if this were 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great tune.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great tune picked out by our next guest, Zomer spinning it on the board here. 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on Monday, October 20th. Glad to have you along. Making her second appearance on the show since being named the state government and politics reporter at Wisconsin Watch. Wisconsin Watch. You can find her story and all the other great work at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. Brittany Carloni, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had a little bit of a cold last week, but I'm feeling a million times better, and the weather's beautiful today.
I know, right?
It's a pretty good Monday.
It's a great Monday. We were talking before we got on the air here. I will get more into this later on in the show, but yeah, tough to watch the Brewers go down in four games, but I mean, after that game by Shohei Ohtani and the club, I mean, the LA Dodgers right now are just, you know, one of those hot streaks, and nobody expected, other than maybe the guys in the clubhouse, the Brewers to get as far as they did.
I know. I would love to have seen them go on to the World Series, but I'm just happy that we beat the Cubs.
Exactly.
That's where 100%. I'm at.
And you're a Milwaukee gal, right?
So, absolutely.
And you're going back to, you said, maybe this weekend, and your dad's a big Creedence Clearwater Revival guy.
Yes, he is.
So that was an honor of your dad.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. Well, it's great to have you here, Brittany. Thanks for coming back over on a Monday. Of course, we're very, very early in the Wisconsin governor's race, but one of the things that has been around for too long and is only getting worse. And we did shows in Waukesha last week.
Oh, nice.
We did shows in Wausau, went from Waukesha to Wausau.
Ooh.
And we've done it, you know, around the state before. One of the major issues that I hear folks talking about is housing, the affordability. Particularly if you're a younger person, how do you afford to get into your first home? If you're an older person on a fixed income, how do you stay in your home with rising property taxes? And if you're someone who's trying to rent, how do you keep up with rental costs? You know, the old adage was, a 30-year budget should go to your housing?
Yeah.
But that's incredible. Very few people, including me, can do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even when I came back to Wisconsin 6 weeks ago at this point, trying to find a place to live, and for me, the speed with which I had to move here, just looking at the cost of apartments, like the rental costs, it's crazy. So it's like whatever kind of spectrum you fall on as far as what you're looking for housing and what the affordability is, like, it is a challenge.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's going to be a key race, not only the governor's race next year, but also legislative races.
Absolutely.
And so you've written this great article, headline, Wisconsin Faces a Housing Affordability Crisis. Here's how lawmakers and candidates for governor plan to address it. Again, this story by Brittany Carloni can be found at wisconsinwatch.org, along with her colleagues' work as well. I think this is a great opportunity, and kind of set this up. I'll read a couple of the first lines here. It says, the median price of a home in Wisconsin rose nearly 120% over the past decade, from 155,000 to 337,000, according to data from the Wisconsin Realtors Association. What a powerful way to open up this article, and that says it all.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell anybody out there who's interested in this or even just learning about this, the data on the Realtors Association's website, it was eye-opening to me as I was kind of digging into that last week, because that kind of jump, I mean, there's so many things from like the pandemic to like, there's all these economic things that have happened in our country in the last 10 years. And just to see like that kind of jump, knowing, again, like we spoke about, like it's hard to afford a lot of things, but everybody needs a place to live.
Oh, right. Yeah. And you saw, you're setting it up great in this article at Wisconsin Watch. Housing costs rose 120% over the past 10 years. In that same time period, Wisconsin's median incomes have only increased about 50%. So, I mean, if your incomes, if you're lucky, it went up 50%, but your housing costs are going up 120%, you don't have to be a smart guy in math, and I'm certainly not. Even I can figure that literally does not add up.
No. No, those numbers were startling, and I'm sure it would be great to see maybe another 10 years from now if some of these proposals that get enacted, like maybe those numbers change, but right. The way it's happening right now, it's not a great sign.
So let's and another part of this article at Wisconsin Watch that I love is that you right away get into what bills are in the legislature. So there are housing bills making their way through the legislature, you write, touch on multiple avenues to boost the state's supply of affordable housing. Let's take a couple of those up.
Yeah. So I actually even wrote down a couple of them because there are, as many things are at the Capitol, things get very nitty gritty, right. And it's hard to explain that out to a regular person. I think the couple that I got into here, there's one on TIDs, which is tax increment, residential tax increment districts, which not a very exciting topic when you say that out loud. Right. But one of the bills being proposed by the Republicans who are leading that bill, like there's a series of Republican-led bills that are going through the legislature right now, and that bill would really focus on doing a pay-as-you-go process for some of the infrastructure that developers and builders need to construct housing. Like often those costs happen, like builders put those at the very end of the process, and that makes the price of a startup home much, much, much greater than, say, if that happens, like those costs can get paid throughout the process of it being built. And that's one avenue that legislators are looking at. Another one is accessory dwelling units. And when I was in Indiana, I think they called these like granny flats where you can essentially have like in a garage on your property, or like a shed, not like you want somebody to live in a shed, but like a nicer
tiny home. I think
exactly.
Some people, maybe between 900 and 500 square feet.
Exactly. Looking to allow that like one accessory dwelling unit on a property. And then another bill that I focused on in here was about a condo conversion grant program. And there's a portion of a WIDA loan program that was created in the 23-25 budget cycle. That's essentially, lawmakers have said those aren't that, when, like there's a portion of this loan program that isn't being used. And the idea would be to provide grants to help like developers and builders convert like multifamily units into condos. So like people can have other avenues to afford living in a certain type of space.
Yeah. We're talking with the great author here of this, Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch, talking about housing crisis in Wisconsin and some of the things the legislature and gubernatorial candidates are being to address this. I was trying to think of the exact, and Zomers, keep me honest on this, but we had Democratic State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner on the show here a while back. I know he has a bill, a bipartisan bill, that would be modeled after Habitat for Humanity.
Yes.
Ooh,
and
yes.
And so, and I'm making it more affordable. Would it be accessible to everyone, right, Summers?
Yeah.
On that? And so I give him credit for doing this in a bipartisan fashion. I know you put some of the Republicans and Democrats in your article here who are working on this. Does this give us a glimmer of hope? Do you think they can get something done, Brittany?
I mean, this...
My! Apparently, we've been having camera problems.
Oh,
I'm not sure why. Hang on.
I figured I saw a wave.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It looks like it has started working.
Okay, right. Good.
Go ahead.
Going back to that 2023-2025 budget cycle, Governor Evers and Republican lawmakers worked together to get, I think it was about just north of $500 million in grants to start some of these affordable housing projects. So there has been bipartisan support and bipartisan momentum in the past. And I think Democrats and Republicans across the state, even in a press conference I was sitting in on a couple weeks ago, Robin Voss was like, all of us, when we go back home to our communities, this is something we hear about. And I do think given the elections next year, yes. I think this is something that people want to be able to go back to their districts and say, look at what we're able to do. Look at these things that are actually putting, I think people hope like solid examples of success coming out of that building. I think that's what everybody really would hope for. So
I sure hope so because we have to find a solution to this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a good reminder that it's not just folks who are unhoused that you might see literally on the street. Mm-hmm. There are people living out of their cars, out of their vans. There are people who are crashing with friends or family because they don't have their own place to stay. Mm-hmm. So it's not just what we might think of as obvious unhoused, but there's a lot of people who are struggling that we don't know. And there are coworkers, there are friends, there are classmates. And this is something that's affected. And it's not just the quote unquote poor areas of urban Wisconsin.
Exactly.
There are a lot of rural places in the state and a lot of more wealthy places where you'll be surprised what people are doing.
Yeah.
There by the grace of God go I.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think, again, going toward, as we transition to talking more about the positions of candidates for governor, mm-hmm. I feel like there's not a lot of issues where if you reach out to campaigns and say, tell me more about your plan for X, that to get 7 of the 9 people who are running for governor to actually respond with more information about what they want to do, or at least some more information about what they want to see if they get that office next year. I think that also shows this is something people care about.
We're talking Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch, our great article here at Wisconsin Housing. Let's start right off here. We got a couple minutes before the first mm-hmm. break. You start off with Republican U.S. Representative Congressman Tom Tiffany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did he tell you?
So I obviously don't have it word for word. Oh, you do.
Right there. I got it right there.
But I know that his focus was really kind of removing regulations that are tied to some of the costs that go into housing processes like zoning. I know he has also talked a lot about freezing property taxes, and I obviously that adds a cost to housing as well. But a big part of what he, his campaign spokesperson who sent his information to me, said it's really that regulation side of things that he's concerned about. And then I think there was another part where he's really interested in shifting some of the state's assistance programs toward home ownership rather than some of the renting processes.
I know you're here for the news side of it. I'll do the opinion side. This is Todd talking. I find it fascinating and disappointing because for Tiffany, because look, I get it. Developers don't need the red tape. But how does that transition into people being able to afford? Because I don't know. A lot of these bills, there's never a connection where developers have to offer an affordable price to the renter or the owner. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they will pocket that savings, for themselves. But that's, again, that's Todd's opinion, not yours.
Yeah.
Campaign spokesman for Republican Josh Shulman from the Washington County Executive also talked, a little bit about Heart and Homestead earned down payment incentives.
Yeah. Some of those programs were really fascinating to learn about. Again, as somebody who has only been back in Wisconsin for 6 weeks. there was, I think that program specifically deals with home down payment loans to help deal with the costs of, like, people can earn back, pay back those loans through through fundraising. And
no, I think we'll come back to the other side, but I think this is at least slightly more realistic to helping the actual person try to get in a home. But we'll come back and talk more about it with Brittany Carloni in Wisconsin. Watch, you're listening to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tonto Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock. ABC's CBS News, the top of the hour. Check of weather. A great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, trying to get back from Arizona. Packers squeaked by last night. And we'll have a what's worse for you, a Wisconsin fun fact, and more. Coming up in hour number two right now, we have Brittany Carloni, the state government and politics reporter from Wisconsin. Watch here at the table in studio at the world headquarters in downtown Madison. Love it when that happens. Her great news story here at WisconsinWatch.org entitled Wisconsin Faces an Affordability Crisis, a Housing Affordability Crisis. Here's how lawmakers and candidates for governor plan to address it. All right, Brittany, we left off with Josh Shulman just to kind of put a fine point on that. The Washington County executive seems to be focusing more on the consumer with down payments for loans.
Mm-hmm. And when I spoke to campaign folks with his campaign staff, they're really focused on that these have been proven really successful programs in Washington County, and that's something that he'd like to take statewide. So it's interesting. It's like a different kind of approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not endorsing anybody in this race, but I do find it refreshing that Shulman appears to be not on the more MAGA side of things. That he's trying to look at something that affects consumers more. Mm-hmm. So I think that's promising. Laura, let's move to the Democratic side. Mm-hmm. You start off here with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley saying that he would gather lone leaders in all parts of the state.
Yeah, when I spoke to folks with his campaign last week, they kind of tried to put this into perspective. Wisconsin, there's a lot of different communities across the state. Something that works here in Dane County might not necessarily work up north. Mm-hmm. And I think they also put this into perspective that in the same realm that there are different communities across Wisconsin, there are a lot of different communities across Milwaukee County. Right. And he's worked on trying to bring affordable housing not only in the city, like within the city of Milwaukee. He pointed to projects in like Oak Creek and other parts of Milwaukee County that you wouldn't expect would necessarily need more affordable housing.
You write in here that Crowley has done this with his parents to build affordable housing throughout Milwaukee County. So mm-hmm. I mean, he literally has experience in this.
Yes.
Crowley does. So it's near and dear to his heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move on to State Representative Francesca Hong, Democrat of Madison, in a statement that as governor, she would use a combination of tax incentives, zoning reforms, and public bank-backed construction financing stabilization. That seems like a lot.
That is a lot. But this is where you can kind of get to see that in a different realm from Tom Tiffany, there some of the Democratic candidates have other approaches when it comes to like the regulation sense mm-hmm. of let's look at these other avenues to make sure that costs stay down, as opposed to the idea of like let's take these regulations off so that way it's easier to build things.
Moving on to State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat of Madison, saying that she would direct more tax dollars, mm-hmm. to existing affordable housing programs to speed up the time it takes for developers to get necessary funding.
So her point of view when I spoke to her about this was that the state has a lot of really good programs already in place, but I think something she said to me was time is money. And when there are a lot of processes for developers and different types of people to get through to get to building a house, we need to put more into these programs to make them easier to get through to get to building houses.
You're right. Additionally, Royce said she would encourage more market rate housing development and expand support systems such as housing vouchers to help ease costs of buying a home. You're right. Crowley, Hong, and Royce all expressed interest in Right to Counsel program that provide free legal representation for tenants at risk of eviction, which I think that's really critical. Mm-hmm. You also talked to former WEDIC director Missy Hughes, former head of Wisconsin Economic Development Corp. It's basically say, I'll get back to you.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where some people don't have, like some candidates might not have like a full plan at this point and might still be trying to talk to folks across the state.
But I think you do a great service here in your article because I find that revealing, because I don't know how you plan to run for governor of this state and launch a campaign without being aware and having at least a rudimentary position on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I especially when you were the WEDIC director, by the way.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about Missy Hughes. Again, yeah. Todd's opinion. Beer vendor writer Ryan Sternad said he would be open to increasing subsidies for lower income housing across the state.
And that was about all I got on that front.
Yeah. So Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez didn't get back?
No, I did reach out and I tried to connect there, and I'm still more than happy to talk to anybody about this going forward. But no, I was not able to hear back.
As they said, the old game shows, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, not a match. The board goes back. You might want to give her a call. But if she has to watch calls, probably a good thing to call back. I would advise everyone who's listening to this interview, go to wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org to read this. I think it's informative. I think because again, unlike Todd, you're not giving opinions on this. You're reporting what campaigns and candidates are saying, what people already in government are putting out there. And I think the important thing is you and Wisconsin Watch are bringing this discussion to the forefront. And I think that's how we start having movement on the affordability housing crisis in the state.
Yeah, and I hope that these kinds of stories, I hope to continue doing these kinds of stories. And I hope this kind of information can help people, because I think in the next 365 days, we're going to hear a lot. And I want to make sure people know what they need to know when they go to the polls next year. So hopefully this helps somebody out there.
No, I really hope it does. I think it will, because again, it advances the discussion. And as I've said, we're going to keep on this show. You're welcome back anytime. Mm-hmm. But affordable housing in general, this is a crisis in the state, and I think it becomes embarrassing for a lot of people. It's like, oh, I can't afford that rent, or, oh, I'm getting evicted, or, you know, people don't like to talk about these things. They're I don't want to say taboo, but it's embarrassing. Yeah. And I think open and honest discussions are the way we make advancement and progress.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Brittany Carlone, Wisconsin Watch, state government and political reporter. Have you back soon.
That sounds great.
All right. Stay tuned. Hour number two is straight ahead. A Wisconsin fun fact and what's worse and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show for a Monday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shutdown in day 20 impacting furloughed federal workers and Americans who rely on government services, including farmers. Joe Maxwell is a fourth-generation farmer and president of Farm Action Fund.
While we're in harvest, it's now that farmers begin to prepare their fields and to make plans for next spring, for spring planting. So it's really a critical time for the government to be shut down. Really puts the farmers in a horrible personal stress, financial stress for the farms.
The Senate taking up a vote again later today aimed at ending the shutdown. Hamas has returned another body and it is in Israeli custody where testing will take place, trying to verify if it's one of the deceased hostages. President Trump today threatening to eradicate Hamas, he says, if the violence against Gazans doesn't stop after reports by the State Department that Hamas has violated the ceasefire deal. This is ABC News.